today on Living on Every Word.
We come into this world needing, but it's not needing affirmation. It's not a need for money. It's not a need for prestige or power. Now, all those things can be good, but our greatest need is God. We need God. And there's a holy God that comes to meet your needs.
Beyond the essentials of food, clothing, water, and shelter, what is basic to the human need? In today's message, Pastor Mike Fritcher explains how God comes to meet those needs and how often we are called to play a part in that as we discuss how God meets our needs.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 63. Just preparing for this day, just thinking about the holiness of God and the sinfulness of us and how unneedy God is. You know that God doesn't need a thing in this world? He doesn't need anything to sustain Him. God doesn't need anything. But I want to tell you, there's a holy God that comes to meet our needs, because I tell you what, we can get kind of needy, can't we? We're a needy people. And we need, because of the sinfulness and because of our fallenness from God, because of our stubborn ways, because of the way we walk after the flesh, we become needy people. We come into this world without the Spirit of God, created in His image yet, yes, but fallen. And we come into this world needing. But it's not needing affirmation. It's not a need for money. It's not a need for prestige or power. None of those things will make you happy. It's not a need for a great retirement account. We don't come in this world for a need of a good education. Now, all those things can be good and can be useful, but our greatest need is God. We need God. And there's a holy God that comes to meet your sinfulness needs. That comes to meet the need, whether it is a provision of money or a provision of resources, of food, of water, of any of those things, of shelter, of clothing. He comes, and the Bible says that He supplies all our needs in Christ Jesus. Most of those aren't the most important need. We need God. And Isaiah 63:1 speaks of that. This is a prophetic word that is directed toward Jesus Christ, but what I also want to suggest to you, that is directed not only to Christ, but it's also directed to His body, because He is the head of a body, and that body is you and it's me. Christ's call becomes our call. Yes, He died on a cross for our sin. We could never do that, but He's called us to take up our own cross and to follow after Him. We are called to love as He loved. We're called to give mercy and forgive as He has given mercy and forgive. In Isaiah chapter 63, 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isn't that the promise of the church? Promise of the church is the Spirit of God will come upon you and you'll be my witness. And God's saying this. Jesus is saying this in this passage and then also in Matthew and Mark. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, will raise up the former devastations, they'll repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. In this passage of Scripture, you have a need that is going to be met by Holy God. Notice some of the needs here. We have a need for good news. He's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. We have a need for good news. All of us like good news, right? We do. We like the good news of our employer when he says, going to give you a raise and not going to fire you or let you go. That's good news, right? We like good news. But I would tell you, that's not the best news. Because 6 months later, he might come and say, huh, sorry. Not only do you have a raise, not only do you not have a raise now, but you don't have a job. It's amazing to me how we'll depend on the good news of this kingdom and not on the good news of God. And the good news of God is as follows. He'll come and he'll take you and he will heal you. He will set you free from the power of sin. He will give you his joy. He will cause you to be a part of the kingdom of God. Notice, I'm going to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up brokenhearted people. Are you brokenhearted today? If you're brokenhearted today, God comes to bind that up. No matter what that is, no matter what area that speaks to in your life, we have a God that will come and will bind up your broken heart. He'll proclaim liberty to captives. Love this. Captive to what? Captive to sin. The strongholds of sin. And you may be here this morning and you may have a stronghold of sin in your life. It may be lust, it may be bitterness, it may be an addiction, it could be anything. It could be a paralyzing fear, it may be guilt. God comes along and says, hey, you know what he says when he proclaims freedom? You're free in Jesus. That's the proclamation. Not you can be free, you might be free, you can be free. Hey, to proclaim freedom means that God comes along, unlocks the chains, unlocks the doors, and says, hey, you're free. You're free. And it's amazing to me that we have this blood of Christ that flows so freely from Calvary. And yet, when we come to Christ, I believe with all my heart, the chains are undone. The doors are opened. But so many just stay in prison, don't they? Stay in prison. Stay enslaved. I think one of the greatest good news is that when Jesus comes along to say, I take care of that sin, you're free today. Oh, I want to believe that. I want to walk from that bondage. I want to walk from those chains. I don't want to keep carrying the chains with me. Because he has proclaimed freedom. That is the message of the gospel. It's the message of Christ. Meeting the human need of bondage. When I think about this whole thought of mourning, he says, listen, I'm going to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, which means that you have a great future, you got a great hope, the day of vengeance of our God, which simply means that God's going to take vengeance upon his enemies and your enemies, and he's going to come, he's going to comfort you who's mourning over your sin. Comfort. What a great word. It's what we all need in this life. And when I think about this passage of Scripture, I think, you know what? I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. If I've heeded the gospel's message that Christ died for my sins and died for your sorrows, and I've responded through repentance and faith in the work of the cross, your need has been met. It's been met in Christ Jesus. And I get to walk in it. Yeah, I'm not saying that you're not going to struggle with things and wrestle with things. And I'm not saying that you're not going to suffer. But my God comes along and says, I'm going to meet your need. Holy God meeting sinful man's need. Taking care of our sin. Taking care of our sorrows. Taking care of you and me. But when I think about that work that he does in my life, this salvation work, I get to become a part of that work in other people's lives. That's what's so great about the gospel. There's an invitation that says, hey, I want to use you in the lives of people. God wants to use us for this glory, for this freedom. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He committed to us a word, or the word, of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. What is reconciliation? What is that? First of all, the word means to be changed. That's first of all. There's a change that takes place in your life. It's a legal term as well, in the sense that when God justifies us, He takes care of that which brought enmity between us and God. He declares us righteous, and then He changes our lives, and He changes the situation. I mean, we were under the wrath of God. We were under the wrath of sin. We were separated from God. And then He came along, and He reconciled us. And it's almost like the thought of God changing my life and changing in such a way that the favor of God is on my life, and then what was separated between me and God has now we become one. You hear of being reconciled in your marriage? You know what that means. Well, it's the same thing with God. Separated from God by your sin, and God comes along and makes you one with Him again. Reconciliation. He reconciled you to Himself. He changed your life. He changed the relationship by speaking into your life and you responding by faith. But then it just didn't stop there. The Bible says He gave you a word of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation. And this ministry is for every one of us today to discover the gifts that God's given us, the power that God's given us through the Spirit of God to be ministers of reconciliation. And I want to ask the question, when's the last time that God used you in a very intimate way to bring reconciliation to someone? Reconciliation. You and I need it. But guess what? He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have a part in reconciling, seeing God reconciled to the world as we live out the giftedness and the power that God has given to us. Now, what does that look like and what does that mean? If God comes and meets the needs of folks by healing them and bringing them freedom and bringing them God's joy and making us a part so that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we're saying our message to others is to be reconciled to God. What does that look like and what do we do? Well, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And I want you to notice the call of the Apostle Paul. Okay, the call of the Apostle Paul. And I didn't mean to rhyme that, but okay. Acts 26, verse 16. Paul is actually speaking of his salvation experience and the call of God on his life. And let's just begin in verse 12, okay? Now, what happens is Paul is out killing Christians, putting them in jail and persecuting the church. And he thinks he's doing a very good thing for the kingdom of God. And the scripture says that Paul quotes this, and Paul is speaking, "While so engaged, while I was persecuting the church, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests," verse 13, "at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now you get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. And I'll rescue you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles who I'm sending you, and in order to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.'" Sounds a whole lot like Isaiah 63 to me. Jesus will sit in the temple one day or in the synagogue one day, and he'll open it to Isaiah 61, and he will open it and he will read it and he will say, it is fulfilled. This is scripture is fulfilled. This is my ministry. But then as the Spirit of God comes upon you, it's the same ministry. You notice it in Paul's life, rescuing you so that you might open their eyes. So what? So they'll turn from darkness to light. Here's man's need. He's in darkness. He needs light. Here's man. He's in the dominion of Satan. He needs to be under the dominion of God. Here is receiving forgiveness. This man or these women are in their sin. They need the forgiveness of God. That's what we need. And we need an inheritance, not of this world. An inheritance. The inheritance of the kingdom of God. And Paul says this, verse 19, so King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and then to Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, watch, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple, and they've tried to put me to death. I'm being faithful to this vision. I'm being faithful to this call. And people are trying to kill me. And I'm not going to be disobedient to this vision. Every one of us in here who've received Christ into our lives have been given a vision for our ministry and lives. It may not be a pulpit ministry. It may not be a missional ministry over the sea. It may not be a staff position. It may not be a position at all, except a position under the headship and the rule of Christ to bring the gifts that God has given to you, to bring the passions that God has given to you, to affect a dying world with the good news of Christ. Every one of us today. And the reason why we can fall, I believe that we'll fall into sin and we'll fall into the world's grip again as believers is because we don't take serious the call that God's given to our lives. That call is for somebody else. No, it's not. It is for you and for me. You have a ministry of reconciliation just like Paul had it, just like Jesus Christ himself had it. He's invited you to be a part of the kingdom of God. So the question that I want to ask is how are you responding to God? Are you obeying that vision that God's given to you? Are you listening to the voice of God and responding to the voice? Because Paul responded and said, yeah, I'll go, I'll do it. I've changed. My life's changed now. And then a number of years later, he'll tell that King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the call of God in our lives. Now, let's say this. Some of us in this place have been disobedient to the call. And it's time to be obedient to it. Bible says that we are to let our light shine so that people see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Is that for everybody in Christ? Yes, it's for everybody in Christ. We listen to the voice of God. We listen to it. And then we become available. Not only do we listen to the voice of God, but we listen to the cry of human need. We listen for the cry of human need. And when it comes to our ears, we want to do something about it. Paul, in chapter 16, and I go back to Acts chapter 16, and just notice this call. And Paul is on this journey. It's a missionary journey. He is strengthening churches. And they're wanting to go into Asia. Did you know Paul wanted to go to Asia to preach the gospel? This passage of Scripture says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going into Asia to preach the gospel. Besides, I think God wanted him in Philippi, don't you? Because I would tell you, they'll not go there. They're trying to get into places, and the Spirit of God is saying, don't go this way, don't go this way. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, the Scripture says in verse 7, and after they came to Mysia, and they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go there. But they passed by Mysia and they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And you know what will happen? They'll go into Macedonia, they'll go to Philippi, and they'll meet Lydia, a businesswoman, and they'll lead her to Christ. Church will plant. And then there'll be a demonized woman, girl, who's following around just being a nuisance. And Paul will turn around and say, the Lord rebuke you and the devil come out of you. And that devil comes out of her. And all of a sudden, what? She's a new creature in Christ Jesus. You got a growing church here. You got the household of Lydia. You've got this servant girl. And then because she was demonized and she could tell fortunes and she made profit for her masters, their masters are upset because no longer can she make the money because now she's a believer in Christ. She no longer has a demon controlling her. They put them in prison. Beat them. Goes into this Philippian jail. The Bible says that after they were beaten, many blows, that about midnight, I think probably the Spirit of God came upon them and they started singing praises to their great God. They had church in jail. Philippian jailers listening. Earthquake comes. All of a sudden, stocks and bonds are let loose. Prison doors are open. Philippian jailer thinks they're escaping, so I'm in trouble, so I'll just kill myself. And Paul says, don't harm yourself, we're here. And the Bible says he called for the lights and he went in. They didn't try to escape, got on his knees or got in some kind of position and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you got? And not only do you have a seller of purple, a businesswoman, and a slave girl, you know, you have a jailer who's come to Christ, and the Bible says his whole household comes. And what happens? Because they heard the voice, the human need, come over and help us. Come over and help us. A church is planted in Philippi. And we have the letter to the Philippians. Why? Because they heard the voice of God and they responded to the human need. Come over and help us. You know, I think that's the cry. I think sometime over the next year, you're going to hear, come over and help us. We got a project. And I think there's some of you in this place that'll go because today you're going to say to God, God, if you call me, I'll go. No question, I'll go. I won't worry about how much it's going to cost. I won't worry about if I'm equipped or not equipped. If you call me, I'll go. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. It's the cry of the human heart that sees something in your life that is different, that is great. The light and salt of God in your life. And that person is saying and appealing, come over and help us. Come over and help us. Some of you are going to hear that. We're going to all hear it. Some of you are going to respond to that need. You know, I think about just the work that God does in our children's lives. Studying the Word. And you'll often hear, come over and help us. We need you on the square at Awana. We need Sunday school teachers. Come over and help us. Come over and help us meet the needs of these children. Come over and help us at the house. Jesus loves little children. Did you know that? God loves children, doesn't He? He loves the babies. Loves the little lambs. Come over. Come over to the house. And help us. That's kind of an easy one, isn't it? We don't have to get on a plane, right? We don't have to raise money. Just go over and help. Come over and help. We've got people in this community that meet on Thursday night to celebrate recovery. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. Navajo children. Come over and help us. Come help us do Vacation Bible School. Come over and help us get this church started and meeting. Come over and help us. We got a water project coming. This village needs water, needs clean water. Come over and help us. Come over and help us meet the need. Oh, I can't come on this trip, but I sure can support somebody. I'll help them get there. And I may be struggling myself financially, but I'm going to help these people get to these places because we've heard the Macedonia call, come over and help us. Come over and help us. Prison, yeah. Come over and help us. I was in prison and you came and you visited me. Well, I tell you, I get to go in once a month, and I got to tell you, it's oftentimes the highlight of the month for me. These guys worship genuinely. Oh yeah, there's some of them that are still cons. Yeah, they want to give you a good word, but I want to tell you, there is this call to the prison. And you know, it may not be when I go in. It may just be a county jail around here that God said that you're just hearing. Hey, come over and help us. We need help. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. Macedonia call. Come over and help us. Here's what I want to ask you to do just over the next couple of days. If you can remember anything about this message, is to remember that there's a voice of God that wants to speak to you and prompt you about things. And the second, there's the voice of a human heart that's in need this week. Would you ask God to make you sensitive to that need? I mean, just to that need, to make you sensitive to that need, so that when it comes along, you've already decided, I'm going to be a part of the kingdom of God this week. Invite me, Lord. Invite me. Is that a good thing? It's a good thing to be a part of. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? There are children in your community that have nothing. They don't have families. They don't have a mom and a dad. Or they do, but it's just totally dysfunction. And sometimes you'll hear, come over here and help us. What am I saying today? I hope it's a word that says, listen, I want to listen to the voice of God and what God has called me to do and called me to live in this life, but I also want to hear the cry of the human heart. Come over and help us. And here's the invitation. You may never have had a Macedonia vision like that, but I want to tell you, if you're Christ, you've had a Macedonia call. God has pricked you somehow. God has put something in your heart and something in your spirit that says, I need to be about that. Come over and help us. The couple struggling in their marriage, come over and help us. The parents who are struggling with that wayward son, child, come over and help us. And you know, they may not give you that specific invitation, but God can, because you see the need. Come over. Come over and help us today. I pray that would be your cry would be, oh God, I'm available. I'm available to help. And there's one other thing today. There's some of us that can be so prideful in our trouble that we can't even cry out for somebody to come help us. And that's another word. There's some of you that need to be crying out, oh, come help. Come help me. Come help us. Come help our marriage. Come help this relationship. Come help me in this sin. Come help me. Sometimes it's you and sometimes it's me that's in this need, and we must humble ourselves to be able to say, come help us. Come help me. Oh, please don't deny the work of God through the church, the body of Christ, its place in your life. Please don't deny that. Come over and help. Say it, respond to it. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you so very much for your goodness and mercy. Thanking you so much for the invitation of our great God. A God who called a person like Paul is the same God that will come and call people like us. I pray that we'd hear and be sensitive to that word, and that we be sensitive to the needs around us. Now, Lord, there are folks going to be going in the morning. There's school teachers here today that they're going into a school system. And, Lord, they're going to a place that needs help. And I'm just asking that your blessing to be upon them. There are business people here this morning that are going to go to their jobs to a place that needs help. There's human need wherever we are. And I ask, Lord, that you'd equip us, that you'd raise us up, that you'd fix us, that you'd wash us, that you'd sanctify us, that you'd save us so that we might be able to be a part of meeting human need as we walk through this life. Come, Father, Fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.